John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome back to Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. This is episode 74, I think, and
we had... Ian was late.
Ian was late and hasn't had his coffee.
I was late. I might be a little cranky.
No coffee yet.
I'm in Minneapolis, and I went to get some coffee. I misjudged the walk. It was about 2 minutes longer than I thought it would be, and then the coffee took about 4 minutes longer than I thought it would. All in all,
you ever heard of a pre-order? You ever heard of a pre-order?
I'm not a Starbucks guy. Stay away from it.
Here's what you do.
One, Ian or Zach, shop local. Try getting some local coffee. Georgia Street Grind, Indianapolis. Thanks. Don't mind if I do. Ian, also, here's what you do to make the time quicker. You take a lime to the coffee shop, and then you walk back because you can't really lime with the coffee in your hand. But that's what I did today. I literally limed. It was like a half a mile. Got the coffee. Walked back. Had time to go to the gas station even. You know, it's just me planning ahead, you know?
Did you go to the gas station for your lime or?
No, I went to the gas station to get water because, you know, hydration is key.
Hydration is important. That's a great point.
There's a lot of sneaky good spots in Indianapolis for breakfast.
Cafe Patichou.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I've heard Indianapolis is a sneaky city.
I'm staring at Lucas Oil Stadium, and I want to go over there and ask if Carson Wentz is playing week one. Should I draft Jonathan Taylor in fantasy? Like, things like that, they matter. So I'm going to go talk to Jim Irsay.
Zach, can I ask you about your hat?
Yeah, it's – I don't know if you're going to be able to put this on.
Oh, turn your hat around. Turn your hat around. We don't support other coffee companies.
That company's also scum.
I told you I'd say it on air,
and I'm a man of my word. They're scum. They said they'd send me coffee. I never got any coffee.
I don't think they are.
Scum.
What are they sending you these days, Zach? Are they sending you like barrels of super coffee? Pallets?
Yeah. It's been great. You know, I've been handing them out to the team, get the morning started. You know, I kind of have like a coffee bar at my locker. It's just like a huge box of coffee, and people are just coming in and out, grabbing bottles.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You know who else got a massive package is Alize.
You know how bad I wanted to jump on that comment. You know who else has a massive package? I was so close. All right, keep it rolling. Can we keep it
PG or what?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Clean it up.
I mean, my mind instantly went to I do, but I'd be lying. Go ahead.
Alize has a lot of coffee in his locker.
Adbert Ausley has a huge package. You heard it from Ian Happ.
Can we talk about something very important to all of us here?
Yes, sir.
Scotty Efros. Big league debut. Friend of the pod. Question of the day. Scotty Efros.
Why don't you go knock on his door? Why isn't he out on right now?
I don't know. He's got a lot going on. He's probably got people here.
When he almost fell over, A couple of us, we had a game going on at the same time. A couple of us were inside watching it. And when he almost fell over, I was like on the floor laughing. I was like, no, stay on your feet. Don't go down. Honestly, do not fall.
Honestly, though, it would have been better if he just fell right away opposed to just trying to save himself for 15 feet down the line.
But if you try to save yourself, it's okay. But if you try to save yourself and fall,
then that's true.
But he did save himself, so it's like, all right, he's okay.
Was that his first pitch too?
No, it was like his third or fourth.
He did go.
First
pitch, strike one.
Straight out of the pen, strike.
Hey, the first pitch too. The ump gave him like a ball off the plate. Thank you, sir.
You love to see it,
Zach. Guess who he was facing?
No, we don't. No, we don't love to see it.
Zach, guess who he was facing? I didn't even know this guy was on the White Sox. You're never going to guess it. It's Robel Garcia.
What?
I had no idea.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's not him.
That's what Juan Gomez said, that Robel Garcia is on the White Sox.
No, that was Lurie Garcia.
Oh, then I got beef for Gomez then.
He might be.
That was gross.
He might be in this. He might be in the system.
Take a lap.
See, but the thing is he actually, I was told it was Robel Garcia because they go, yeah, the Astros let him go. And I was like, well, he was with the Astros, so that makes sense. But I was like, I don't think that was Robel.
Let's see.
Hey, we all make mistakes, all right? No one's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know how many from the 2015 Chicago Cubs draft class has made it to the big leagues with the Cubs.
I think it's just you and him.
Doesn't feel like a lot, but Scotty made it.
Oh, and PJ. You, him, and PJ, I think, are the only three.
Me, Higgins, Scotty. Anybody else that comes to mind?
Scott's is wild, though. Like, even PJ, too, like, switching positions. Like, Scott literally learned how to throw completely differently 2 years ago. In the middle of the season.
And then didn't even get to play baseball last year.
Did not play baseball last year.
What? Zach, watch this. Ian, who is your second rounder of your draft? I knew there was
DJ Wilson?
It might have been.
No, actually. Donnie Deweese. Wow.
Donnie. Who's the Don?
The fucking Don.
The Don.
I think DJ Wilson was like third or fourth. Here's a question for you. How did we get Alfonso Rivas, just debuted? How did we get him in the Cubs?
Trade for Tony Kemp.
Oh. Talk about a steal of a trade.
That was quick. That was really quick. I had no idea. We were sitting on the – it says on the board in the White Sox place, like, how the person was acquired. And I'm sitting there next to Valen going, how did we get this guy? Trade with Oakland.
All I'll say is he is an absolute stud.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's also, like, the best defensive first baseman I've played with.
We need to make him a righty fielder somehow.
Nico keeps saying he's unbelievably smooth on defense.
Yes. Nico said that he had no idea that either of them were brought up until he saw them for BP. He was just like, holy shit. He's like, what are you guys doing? And he had no idea. He texted me. He was just like, I had no idea these guys got called up until I saw them.
I guess I wouldn't have known either if you guys didn't tell me about Scotty. But that's why I have you guys around. Baseball Reference. Just let me know. MLB trade rumors. Inside reports.
Zach, guess who didn't know until like
Maples, an hour Maples, and a half? Maples, 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 Maples.
We were at the field for like an hour. And I go, yeah, like, I hope Scotty throws it. And he like said something. I was like, no, like, he's in the show. He goes, what? I'm like, you don't even – Maples, like, I get, like, me and Zach, like, know a lot of things. Like, we hear a lot from other people. Maples like blocks it out. Like, he doesn't even notice when people are gone.
He's checked out.
Zach, I get called transaction guy all the time, and I'm like, I literally only know things that people tell me. People will text me and say things are happening, and I'm like, oh, okay.
It's different, and
they're like, how do you know that?
It's different for Scott. Scott's one of our best friends. Like, obviously, we were going to know about him. I didn't know until the next morning. I was sleeping.
You guys are both MLB trade rumors, and you're tapped in. Zach's a link to passing.
What's crazy is I literally don't follow anything. Like, I don't care. I literally don't look up anything. Whatever. That's fine. I have a lot of friends that tell me things. Sue me.
Got a lot of friends. Popular guy.
Yes.
Ian, can we talk about your homer the other day to tie the game?
Yeah, that was cool.
Little rain delay action. Not many people in the stands.
IHA's starting to heat up.
There was a lightning warning. So they basically said, like, you don't have to leave, but you can't sit in the lower bowl.
But you can't stay here.
And so everybody was up under the overhang. Daniel Bard.
Nasty.
Got him. Nasty.
Tough series for Daniel Bard against the Cubs.
Clipped him on a slider. Thought I got enough of it, but it was a basketball. So it was a
– love that.
It was a closey.
You hit, like, the weirdest home run sometimes. Yours to left center, like, they end up going, like, this isn't a knock, but I'm like, I mean, that looks like a pop-out. Like, off the bat, I'm like, there's no way that gets out.
Come to Comerica.
No, I'm just saying, like, his swing, and then, like, the ball ends up in left center. I'm like, is he just, like, slicing these to left center like he's hitting a golf shot?
But look at the numbers. They're well struck. He's 102 plus.
I told you, I'm not chirping you. I'm just saying.
102 plus at, like, 33.
Is that getting out at Comerica?
Absolutely not.
Comerica, they're catching it short of the track even.
Nothing gets out of Comerica. I do have a pump there, though. Got one pump there.
Speaking of another pump, you also booked a future Hall of Famer.
That I was saying on the bench, that's probably my coolest. I was trying to think of, like, guys in the book. That's probably the number one name guys in the book. Future Hall of Famer, Greg Kimbrell, and a friend. And being able to have him in the book is – that's I think that's got to be the coolest name.
Did you – up there. Speaking of Kimbrell, did you see the stat of his ERA in the eighth inning versus the ninth inning?
I don't know when they're going to figure it out. He's got to throw the ninth.
Dude, it's
Hendricks. Like, Hendricks is thrown all over. He's done it. I know that, you know, he was the closer there and he's been good for them and whatever. But Kimbrell's the best to ever do it. He, at the end of his career, could go down as the best to ever
be,
do it.
He'll be the second best.
I can't listen to that and not say Mariano. Like, that's just can't. That's blasphemy to me. That's blasphemy. Okay.
That's fair.
I think Mariano is clearly the GOAT. I mean, he's the only unanimous Hall of Famer ever.
Research team.
He's the only unanimous. He has more saves. What are you talking about?
Can we get a career comp?
I mean,
on most stat lines.
In.
I just want to see it. I just want to see it. Craig had
you're
a
gonna,
lot.
You're, okay. Kimbrell probably has more strikeouts, but I mean, Mariano's ERA has got to be, I don't know, it might be low.
And he did it with.
And in the postseason, all the postseason numbers.
One pitch.
But back to the eighth versus ninth inning thing, Zach, did you see those numbers?
I did not.
He has like a 5.5 in the eighth and like a 0 or like 0.4 in the ninth.
I just I see guys, Ian, this is a testament to you. You hit a home run off of them. Like, you see how those guys throw, and it's just like, I can see maybe one or two guys getting lucky off them once in a while, but like a 5-something? How do so many people get hits and drive in runs against somebody like him?
But I think it's been like, I don't know that he's ever had any success in that. It's not like the eighth inning isn't his inning. It's that he's a ninth inning guy.
I mean, but he can't still throw. Has stuff.
He came in with a 7-run lead or whatever. And then when he threw at our place, came with a 4-run lead. Like, that's not Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell is.
Right. I get it.
Give him one run.
I was on deck
there. Sweet child of mine plays. He punches out the side with the hair going everywhere. And then you're done.
We played at the White Sox. Like, one of those first or second times he got called up, and I was on deck when Hendricks was pitching. I was late, and I was 15 feet behind the plate, and I was still late.
He's jumping at you.
Oh, my word.
He's crazy, too. He's a crazy person. Yeah,
nuts.
Oh, he got to 1,000 strikeouts? Damn it. I was really excited about seeing 1,000 strikeouts, and then he got traded. I wanted to see number 1,000. I didn't think he got there yet.
Zach got to see 500 homers.
I would say you got to be really special to see some milestones in person, you know?
Yeah. What is? I'm trying to think of a cool milestone that I saw, but I think Johnny Lester's first home run and was a strikeout number, I think.
Speaking of Lester, like I said, I faced him. He is the largest human I've ever seen on a mound.
He's incredibly big.
He's thrown for the Cardinals yet?
Yeah, he's been throwing all year, or not all year, since he got traded. Sorry.
2,000 strikeouts and his first homer on the same day. That was cool.
Shows you how much baseball I've been watching, Zach.
Johnny has 198 wins.
Ooh.
Okay, he's at 198. He's got 1 month left to get 2 wins to get to 200, and we have a 4-game series because we have a doubleheader with the Cardinals at Wrigley Field, like second to last weekend of the year.
Ooh. That'd be pretty neat.
Lining up.
So you're going to try and help him get to those
wins? I'm not trying to help. I'm just saying it's lining up.
You heard it here first,
folks. I think you're going to try.
Blowing the game because his buddy John.
Look at those numbers. We got lower. All right. Craig Kimbrell, 2.16 ERA. Mariano, 2.21. He's got half the appearances because he's halfway through his career. 372 saves versus 652. So, I mean, obviously he's got a lot to go there, but Craig's only 32, 33. He's only 165, 6 strikeouts away.
Ian, do you want to hear
a stat? He's got a lower career whip. I'm just saying, I know that Mariano's total career is much better, and he's got 13 All-Stars, and he's got a World Series MVP, and he's five-time reliever of the year, and he's won a bunch of World Series, and Mariano's total cumulative is better. But I'm saying, where Craig is in his career, if he continues like he was with us this year, being that dominant for years to come, he could be the best closer of all time, and we're watching it, and we need to appreciate things like that because they don't come around all the time.
Ian.
Yeah, he'll be the second best.
Ian. I'm waiting for my turn to murder you.
Go ahead.
Not to murder you. I shouldn't say that.
Before 11 a.m. to come and try to murder me is a little aggressive, but go ahead.
But the biggest stat, to me that is unbelievable is that more people have walked on the moon than scored a run on Mariano Rivera in the playoffs. And he has, I'm trying to find how many innings. Dang it.
141 innings and a .7 in the playoffs for Mariano.
Is that good? That's pretty good.
That's like.
And I'm not even knocking Kimbrel. I'm just saying Mariano did things we'll never see. Because Kimbrel, yes, in the regular season could catch him. But he's just not doing in the postseason
what Mariano did. He's the best postseason reliever of all time, and that's not a question.
I'll give you Craig just because he punches everybody out.
Everybody.
141 innings in the playoffs is like two full seasons.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And that's
they were in the playoffs quite a bit, huh?
He's got a .7. He's given up 11 total runs. 4 top 3 Cy Young finishes. Research team, that's the greatest set I've ever seen. That a relief pitcher has 4 top 3 Cy Young finishes. Relief pitcher. A reliever.
He has 11 total playoff runs given up?
Yes.
In how many years?
The
playoff appearances.
I mean, he made it probably like every year he played there. Probably like, I'm guessing like 13, 14 years, I guess.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
16.
And then, I mean, the one year, what was it, 04, when the Red Sox came back from 3-0?
What the fuck is that about? Are you serious? This early? It's noon.
Say it's noon over here.
Before noon, and you're going to drop a win.
I'm just saying.
And finish your thought, Zach, please.
I'm just saying he gave up a few runs there. So if you take those away, it's even more special.
Hey,
but he did it.
How about you go be those scumbag fans that are booing Javi Baez, huh? Go back to New York and boo your scumbag. Right,
can we talk about that? A lot of people have come out, including I think Russo, and been like, and the Mets came out and were like, this can't happen. Like our players can't do this.
Safe to say that Mr. Baez will not be returning to the Big Apple? Question mark.
I don't know. It depends.
I would love to hear. I'm going to give you my thoughts, and then you give me your thoughts.
Why don't you start? I'd like to go ahead.
What's up, guys? Producer Tom will be right back to Dakota's point on Javi Baez in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor, DraftKings. The NFL is back. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all the great promotions and daily odd boosts. Plus, you can make every game a big game with the same game parlay. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code COMPOUND to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any week one game. That's promo code COMPOUND to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Now, back to Dakota.
I think that when you are as popular as Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor, you just simply can't do that. You know what fans are going to do. If you get out, they're going to boo you because that's what they do. Like, you're in New York. Like, what do you – they're not going to cheer for you if you're 0-4 with four punch-outs and the team's five games under 500 and you're supposed to be winning. Like, that's just what fans do. Like, you can't turn on your own fans is my only thing. I have no problem with – I understand they're like, oh, like, you're going to boo me when I'm 0-1, but then I hit a homer, and what are you going to do? You're going to cheer for me. He's like, so if you're going to boo me the whole time. And I get that, but, like, you just can't – you can't turn against your own fans.
I think if they kept that in the clubhouse, I think it's okay. Like, hey, like, if the media asks, hey, what are you guys doing? Or, like, why are you doing that? They'd be like, oh, no, you know, it's an inside joke with our team. But, like, it's really tough that people are paying your salary to – I believe me, I get both sides, but again, I don't know if I would be able to go public with that one.
I think Javi said a few words wrong for sure, which didn't help the situation. But I don't like fans booing. It stinks. Like, yeah, when fans boo, sorry. Like, I've never been booed, but I've seen starting pitchers come off, boo. But I've seen starting pitchers come off and get booed and, like, just feel so horrible for
it
that.
It does. No, right.
Like, you're like, oh, God, like, please stop. And the – I think one of the things that Javi was trying to say was that everybody needs to be pulling together, and it's not just the players. Like,
yeah.
I think what he was trying to say is, like, we need the fans. Like, we need you guys to be behind us and supporting us. And the more positive and supportive you are of this team, the better chance we will have of getting right and winning. And I think, like, he was trying to say, this is going to be tougher if we're getting booed at the beginning of games, or, like, every time we lose, we feel like we're letting the city down. Because he, you know, comes from this Joe Madden era here, especially early, where Joe talked about not only the players and the staff being on the same page, but every single worker in Wrigley Field, every single person in the front office, every sales team member. Like, Joe had this way of talking about the entire organization and the fan base being, like, in lockstep with trying to win a World Series, and talking about when it happens. And that, like, that was the whole mantra from the top down through the organization, all the way to the business side, all the way to the fans. And so I think that's, he was trying to get across, like, we need everyone working together to try to pull this off and win baseball games here. And it didn't come out right. Also, I had one other thing to say on this topic, and that was about Bryce Harper, because when Bryce's first couple years in Philly, and he might have not had the best year ever, but he was still Bryce Harper and had good years. Listening to him get booed in Philly.
Wild.
Wild. Like, yeah. You're gonna have this guy for, and I think that's the same thing with Lindor. You're going to have this guy for 13 years.
Right.
Like, you got 10 more of them, guys. Like, what are we doing? You can't, like, you're going to alienate this guy day one and have him not want to play here or like, whatever. But that, I think those times when you're booing guys that you know you're going to have for another 10, 12, 13 years is bananas. And now Bryce is having – his career numbers are actually hilarious when you look at them, but he's having an MVP caliber year and basically putting the Phillies on his back and giving them
a chance. It's really tough. It's really tough, especially when you have that big dollar sign next to your name. And it's like, you know, we're giving you all this money. It's like, hey, we're expecting a little. It's a game. It's a fucking hard game. We're all human.
Yeah, it's not. Like, it's not football, and it's not basketball. Just because that guy's been good in the past, or just because you paid him, doesn't mean you're going to get the same guy every year. In football and basketball, LeBron, Westbrook, whoever, James Harden, like, you're getting a version of them every year, but it's going to be that guy. In football, like, the best quarterbacks in the league are the best quarterbacks in the league every year. They don't just stink one year. Like, in baseball, it's so hard. And from year to year, things change. People, what's happening in somebody's life or how they feel. Like, guys have bad years in baseball. Like, it happens to every single player.
Not to knock them, but Christian Yelich, perfect example of that. Guy was the MVP.
Yeah. Cody Bellinger's having a tough go. Like, it happens to guys. And I think if you look at everybody's career, like, even some of the best players of all time, you look at some of the years they had or some of half of seasons that they've had, like, everybody's had bad stretches of their career. I remember watching Joey Votto go through. I mean, Joey had obviously a tough year in 19 and 20, but, like, watching him go through, was 17 or 18? I think it was 18. He ended up one of those years. He was – his first half, he was hitting, like, 202. And then the second half, he hit, like, 450. But it happens to even the best players.
It doesn't help that us two aren't having the most stellar seasons in the world and we're talking about this.
Yeah, it's a sore spot. It's a wound, you know?
It doesn't make it any lighter, but
– No. But I at Wrigley, being at home and having your home fans talk shit to you sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. You want to murder someone because it's not like when you're on the road, like, you expect.
Yeah, right.
You expect that. But, like, when you're at home and your home fans are talking shit, like, that stinks. I will say at Wrigley, especially in left field, the positivity from most fans for me has been awesome. Like, it's been really cool, especially some of the games recently where the stadium was a little bit more empty. There's been some really great people out in the left field bleachers, and I appreciate that. There was one guy who was talking a lot of shit and talking about the Mendoza line and just screaming at me, and he was with two little kids.
Yeah.
And I almost never say stuff. Ever. Like, I don't like doing it. I really just always ignore it. But it was the ninth inning. I think we were getting beat pretty bad. I might have hit I had an okay game. Like, it wasn't, like, the worst game of my life. And I turned around and looked at him, and he's, like, on top. He's like, yeah, that's me. And I looked at him, and I went, you're a great example for your kids. What are we doing? Two little kids. They're going to grow up to be scum just like you. Like, stop Jesus doing Christ. That.
Yeah, murder him.
Did he say anything or no?
What?
Did he say anything back?
No, it really shut him up very quickly. He looked and he went into his shell. Yesterday at the White Sox, I went, it was the eighth inning or whatever of the game. We're getting beat up. And I went over, I just punched out for the fourth time. Maybe the third. Punched out four times. Tough day. I'm going over to the catch a foul ball on the netting. And I catch the ball into the netting. And there's a White Sox fan. Two or three of them screaming at me. Like, go fuck yourself. Fuck you. He was like, Jesus, that's aggressive. I don't need that. That's and I'm, you know, nice. I have the ball, and he's going, just kidding. Throw me the ball. I was just kidding. And so I looked right at him and was like, fuck off, and threw the ball the other way. And then immediately it's like double birds, like, fuck you. It's like, my God.
I'm going to be honest. I almost got to respect that and toss him the ball. How fast he turned. He's like, just kidding. Throw me the ball.
I was thinking about, like, what if I would have just turned and, like, whipped it off the net? Like, do I get a really hard flinch from him? Because that would be nice.
That would be funny.
Awesome. But then if he doesn't flinch you, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. You're like, ooh.
Dude, that place is nuts.
It's rowdy. There's just
that place just is a party in the bleachers.
When you were there, were there people beating the shit out of each other?
Oh my God, dude. Like there was, it was, they had the longest snake cup of all time. Or cup snake, whatever it is.
And I didn't it see always any happens fights, at Cub Sox, but I mean, there's just some unbelievable fights. I was facing Kopech in the eighth, and in the middle of the at bat, like there's the crowd's going crazy because there's a fucking all out melee in left field. I'm going, what? Come on, it's everybody take it easy. Let's do this in between innings. Trying to hit a baseball.
Trying to focus on someone throwing 100. I haven't really been here for that long, but like whenever I'm on deck or anything at home, it's all nothing but positivity, which I'm kind of pretty surprised about.
I think that's just the pure Michigan difference, man.
That it must be, but on the road,
we're just nice people up there. You know, it's just nice, always rooting for you, trying to pick you up when you're down.
But like you said, Ian, on the road, I'm really expecting to get worn out when they see 5-9 come to plate with those stats up there.
I think 95% of baseball fans in most markets, there's a couple markets that probably aren't the same, but most markets are like super positive, very upbeat people who want the players to succeed.
Yeah.
And then you have the 5% that ruin it for everybody and are very negative. But I just want to give that shout out to the people that have been in the left field bleachers because they've been pumping me up.
And look what happens. Look what happens.
Look what happens. Kids hot.
You're getting fucking hot.
Can I switch topics real quick?
Hey, man. What? Your podcast, you
guys,
too.
Did you guys watch Cantlay versus DeChambeau?
I saw highlights of it.
Sick.
Yeah.
It was great. I did
and
see.
And a little chirping going on, too.
Ooh, chirping.
It was sick because it was like, what, 7 playoff holes, I think? And on one of them, the par 3. Well, first, par 4. Shambo hits his into a little river, so he has to drop, just stuffs it, still makes par, ties the hole. Next hole's a par 3. DeChambeau puts it to like 6 feet. Cantlay steps up and says, oh, I'll put it to 3 feet.
Love that.
Nasty.
Cantlay didn't miss a putt.
No. Hey, that Ryder, the Ryder Cup's going to be really interesting with that group of guys.
I saw that tweet about like the relationships. It was like Brooks hates Bryson. Cantlay hates Bryson. DJ hates Brooks. It was like a whole thing about like how everybody hates Patrick Reed. It was like how everybody hates each other.
Yeah, the last part said, and everybody hates Patrick Reed.
It's like how are these guys gonna play together?
I saw like Steve Stricker, the captain, told Brooks, like, hey, like, take it easy on Bryson. Like, we need both of you for the Ryder Cup. So can you guys, like, bury the hatchet for the Ryder Cup?
Just for a few weeks.
Like, we're going to need both of you. You're both pretty damn good.
Do you remember when the biggest rivalry at the Ryder Cup, like, amongst the USA team was, like, Tiger and Phil probably shouldn't play together?
Yeah. Right. And now it's everybody hates everybody.
I don't think it was the Ryder Cup. I think it was the President's Cup where they played together, and it was disaster.
I think everyone hates everybody except everybody's got to love Schauffele. I feel like he's got to be like the most likable guy on the tour.
Great guy.
Yeah. I feel like everybody likes JT too.
Yeah.
Good point. Except for some of the fans.
We got some exciting sports times coming up.
Oh, it's
that time of year.
It's that time of year.
Dakota. Football. Dakota, how's your football, fantasy football? How's it going?
I've already had 2 drafts. Love both my teams. Got one more next week. Just can't wait. Absolutely. There's no better time of the year than football season. Like, it's not particularly close for me. The fall, waking up Sunday morning. My buddy texted me this morning. He goes, you wake up. It's Sunday morning. 61 degrees. There's a little drizzle outside. You go get your coffee, plop down on the couch for 10 hours of football. And I was like, that for me is nirvana. There's nothing better.
The last few years when I've been home, you know, like my mom asked me to do stuff around the house. Obviously, I'll do it. But like Sundays, she knows that there's just like a wall around me. And it's like, hey, mom, love you to death. Get lost.
Hey, mom, Zach Wilson's about to get under center. All right. Time to lock in.
You ever heard of him? Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, the Lions cut your boy, Zach Brashad Perriman. They said,
I know. I sent you that tweet yesterday.
They said, no, thanks.
Dakota, do you think you're going to have some team meetings, maybe some team dinners to try to build camaraderie amongst your two teams that you've drafted?
Oh, yeah. We've already had OTAs. They were optional, but the whole team was there. The guys are committed. The guys are ready to go to war.
It's very important to get the team to play together.
It was really funny yesterday. So we had our team draft, and I went. We had to sing. The rookies had to sing the national anthem at it. So it was pretty fun. It was a good time.
That's
so
funny.
Matt Manning, he's a pitcher on our team, dresses up in a suit and walks in with sunglasses on or whatever. And he was just like, yeah, you know, I'm ready to draft my team or whatever. And he was getting a lot of his picks from his phone, from his buddy. And whenever he would pick somebody, he would act like he's talking to the guy on the phone who he drafts. And he was just like, well, you know, welcome to the team. And he's dressed in a suit. And it was unbelievable. He's like, yeah, that's, you know, awesome. I'm just checking in on the guy I drafted. He's like, how bad do you want to be a team of Matt Manning?
We're so excited to have you, son.
It was so good.
Well, why don't we check on the screen times?
4 hours and 12 minutes yesterday.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
Oh wow. God. Interesting, huh?
4:53 for me. 4:53 for me. It was a toughie.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Dakota. Let's go, Mekis.
You go over seven? Where are you at?
I set a record. You're going to puke. So Sunday night, we were on a bus.
Yeah, yeah,
until 3 a.m. So I got all those dollars in there.
Why don't you talk to your teammates?
12 hours, 12 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, holy smokes.
Do you understand?
We're going to need a screenshot of that when this episode comes out.
That is half of the day. That's half of 24 hours.
It was an off day and a bus trip, and it is what it is, you know?
Did you bring your PS4 on the road?
No.
Oh, see everybody out there. See what happens when he doesn't have his PS4. He's not manipulating.
Dakota, please screenshot that so that we can have it when this episode is released, because that is gross.
I mean, that's by far a record for me. It's not even close. That's a tough one.
Ian, does Nico travel with you guys? Is he on the road with you?
Yeah, he's with us. He's hanging out.
It's a good body.
Oh, I would like to say a shout out.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really bored right now. He kind of roams around and
glove on?
Yeah, glove. Yep. Sometimes he's carrying a bat. Sometimes he's got a glove. Yep. John Boy came to Chicago. So we hung out in Chicago. It was a great time. And did a little video. Go check that out on the John Boy YouTube. The solid one.
Saw that.
Game of
Saw
Games.
That. Pretty fun.
Yeah, pretty fun stuff. I dominated, but that's not important, except it is a little important. Episode 74 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. Go get your Parse. I just got a shipment of Parse, actually. Got a few bottles in Chicago. So excited to tap into that. Maybe give some out to some new teammates, new friends.
Yeah, Pat messaged me yesterday asking for an address. I'm excited to get some.
Yeah, fantastic. Dakota, anything to say about Parse? Do you love planting trees?
It's delicious. I drank some this weekend. It was very tasty, and I planted
a tree.
I thought you were going to say
this morning, and I was going to laugh.
I
don't get my day hasn't really started until I've had my first glass of Parse, you know?
Yeah, that could be a t-shirt. Parse in your coffee.
That sounds inappropriate, but I agree.
Episode 74 of the Compound Podcast. See you next week.